Yes, back like we never left. Welcome back to the College Tribe Podcast. I am your host, Austin Price. Very happy to be able to say I am back here doing this show with you for episode 2. But it's weird. The numbers are really weird here because it's episode 2 of the College Tribe Podcast. But we're about to get into our first weekend of college football, so you would think it's week 1. But no, it's not. It's week 0. That's what it's unofficially known as. This upcoming Saturday, August 24th, it's week 0 of college football. And typically, when we have week 0, there may be one, maybe two, the programs that are worth a hoot that are playing. It's typically smaller schools or more lopsided games, forgettable games. It's supposed to be a preamble to the first loaded slate of college football, which is going to be a week later, Saturday, August 31st. That's when we're really going to have a lot to talk about. Here, we just got to select a few games for you. But one of them, I mean, this is a Florida Panhandle podcast, right? This is Pensacola. We're going to talk about Floridian teams. And the biggest game of the weekend is Florida State, Georgia Tech. That's going to dominate the College Tribe for this week. And it should be pretty obvious why, especially when you look at some of the other games that are going to be played on the 24th. And you just kind of hold them up next to the FSU-GT game in comparison. All right, so what I'm actually going to do is we're going to go ahead and just kind of crank a few homers. Just hitting at the batting cages, man. Just knocking these out pretty quick. There's 3 other FBS games on this Saturday. And I'll give just a quick analysis of them. Montana State travels to New Mexico. Montana State has, for the most part, been a pretty consistent team, a decent team, these past few years at the FCS level. So New Mexico has sucked in the Mountain West. So this is actually a pretty interesting game. Montana State currently, according to ESPN here, I'm looking at it right now, Montana State is currently favored by 10.5 points. They are favored by 2 scores over the Lobos here, and it's in New Mexico. So that should tell you, like, where these two teams stand amongst their current competition. I would say that Montana State can win this game. I am now feeling more confident in saying that they will. So this is actually going to be pretty interesting. It could be an FCS beating an FBS team, but it is an FCS team that's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. They've been good. New Mexico has just been consistently bad. So we could see the bigger fish, technically, in their domain, losing here to a team that plays at a whole different level. So that's a game worth watching, I'd say, all things considered. Also, on Saturday night, that's in the afternoon. That's at 3 p.m. on FS1. Also, on the CBS Sports Network at 7 o'clock. So that evening, we've got SMU traveling to Nevada. This is SMU's first game as an ACC power, a Power 4 team, the start to a new era. They're going to Nevada, another Mountain West team here. Man, see, the problem with Nevada is they suck too. I mean, I think they only won like 2 games last year. I mean, it was pretty rough. However many games they won, it was bad. I honestly figured, I was looking at their schedule earlier this offseason, and I honestly thought there's a real chance they go winless. They would have to be very bad to go winless, obviously, but it's not impossible. So the fact that I could even question them going winless should say a lot about where they are as a program today. So it's Power 5 versus Group of 5. It's an FBS versus FBS matchup. Couldn't say that about the last one. However, this game, SMU's currently favored by 27. I could see this being a total blowout. I don't know if SMU's going to win by that much. They're on the road. Nevada's not itty-bitty. It's not like you're playing Idaho State here. And it's to start the season. I could see SMU maybe kind of pulling away later. 27's a bit strong, but who knows? Well, I mean, SMU could totally decimate here and, you know, put their money where my mouth is. You know what I'm saying? Just shut me up right away. Lastly, this is going to be the worst game. I firmly believe it. The spread seems to agree. Delaware State at Hawaii. Hawaii has struggled. They've had a couple of 3-win seasons. They are at home hosting Delaware State, one of the consistently worst FCS teams. Like, I cannot physically describe. Like, I talk with my hands a lot. I could not depict with my little digits here just how terrible Delaware State football is. It's just in such rough shape. I mean, I'm not even trying to be mean. They're just not good. And they have to go to Hawaii. Hawaii, in spite of how bad Hawaii is, they are currently favored by 38. They are expected to win this game by 38 points. It's that bad. So that game is going to be that game. It doesn't even have a station listed here, so it may not even be televised. And it kicks off at 11 o'clock p.m. our time. So that game, literally and figuratively, I'm assuming is going to be unwatchable. That's the other three games that we got on week zero. So now you're probably seeing why Florida State and Georgia Tech is like the go-to. Florida State, number 10 in the country, coming off of a 13-1 season, playing with a chip on their shoulder, going on the road to a conference opponent that they don't play often. And Georgia Tech just finished with their like first winning season in a while. I think this is their second winning season that they're coming off of since 2016. I think that's it. So Georgia Tech is a humble program, to say the least. Consistently has one of the tougher schedules in America, thanks to a little fella named Georgia, the Bulldogs. But yeah, they got to host Florida State to open the year in Dublin, Ireland. I think that could be very interesting. Very interesting. And here's why. I think the scenery's cool. I think it's awesome to have a team as relevant as Florida State is, not just historically, but currently, kicking us off here. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff on ESPN, so it is, like, literally the first game of the season getting underway. But I think also this isn't some gimme for FSU. They're currently favored by 11 over Georgia Tech, so FSU is not expected to blow their doors off here. But when you consider that FSU is, let's be real, likely going to be worse coming into this season, they're going to be good, but they're not going to be the 13-win form we saw last season. No chance. They've simply lost too much talent. But they're going to be playing Georgia Tech, first game jitters, neutral site. Georgia Tech's on the rise, it seems, though it may be slowly. And Georgia Tech gives Florida State a scare when they face off. For starters, especially before ACC dropped their divisions, the scheduling process for cross-divisional opponents in the Atlantic Coast Conference was awful. I mean, to give you a fun fact, just to give you a reference, and COVID's partially to blame for this, I believe, but it's nonetheless ridiculous. Wake Forest, I've said it before, I'm a Wake Forest fan, they have not played Miami since 2013. This fall, this November, will be the first time those two conference opponents have faced off since 2013. That is ridiculous. That is unbelievable. So the fact that it can even be that bad in the ACC tells you that Florida State and Georgia Tech, as previously cross-divisional opponents, that's why they don't play as often as they probably should have. But while I think Florida State beat Georgia Tech pretty bad in 2022, Georgia Tech has gotten better since then. And before that, I think Florida State had like a double-digit lead on Georgia Tech. It may have been Mike Norvell's first game there. Had a double-digit lead on the Yellow Jackets. Yellow Jackets came back and won. I think the last time they played before that, if memory serves me correctly, was 2015. Florida State was unbeaten. They had not lost a regular season game since 2012. They go in to Atlanta and lose to Georgia Tech. And it was the infamous blocked field goal taken back home as time expired. So they have a pretty rough history with Georgia Tech, other than like the last time they played. And that's just going back the last 10 years. So this is a pretty interesting matchup here. And I think that everything that I've just said is why Florida State has a pretty, relatively speaking, a narrow edge. When you hear 13-win team facing off against a 7-win team, you wouldn't think of just an 11-point spread. But that's what we have. Do I think FSU is going to cover the spread? Yeah, I think they are. I think FSU is a pretty safe bet to win this game. You know, I'm hyping it up. I think it's going to be interesting. It's definitely not going to be the most lopsided game on Florida State's schedule this season. But do I think FSU is going to win? Yeah, I'll give them a 3-possession win. I'm talking 35-17, 35-18, somewhere around there. 3-possession, convincing win, not some beatdown. Florida State, similarly to what we saw a lot of times last year, may have to start slow, pull away, maybe something like that. But yeah, that's week zero. So we got decent game between Florida State and Georgia Tech. And I think decent game between Montana State and New Mexico. I hope that's a good game. SMU and Nevada. SMU's going to, if they don't know who they are right when they enter that game, they will eventually. And then Delaware State and Hawaii is just going to bomb. But now I want to talk about this. I want to segue. And this is not just a week zero storyline. It is, but it's not strictly week zero. This is something that is going to be kind of looming over us, lingering around for the entirety of the season. College game day. College game day is a very interesting topic here because they're going to Dublin for week zero. That was announced months ago. That was announced like back in December, I think. They're going to Dublin to start the season. And I think that's great. You know, this beloved panel, this beloved show, and it's out there at this very exotic, I say exotic, foreign place. I mean, it literally is foreign. It's Dublin, Ireland. It's outside of the States. I'm sure it's a beautiful scenery. I'm sure there's going to be a grand show put on. I'm sure it's going to be lovely. The problem is Kirk Herbstreit is on that panel. People don't like Kirk Herbstreit. Let me rephrase. Florida State people don't like Kirk Herbstreit. Now, you may be thinking, Austin, why? Why wouldn't anybody love America's sweetheart, Kirk Herbstreit? Well, the reason why is because I don't even have to answer the question for you. You can just look at his social media feed. If you go to Kirk Herbstreit's Twitter, or X as it's now known as, if you go to his X account and look at his latest tweet and scroll through the comments, you are going to find multiple, not just one random troll, you are going to find multiple Florida State fans who are talking smack. And it kind of goes beyond talking smack. It's not just saying, oh, Kirk, we're going to prove you wrong. Just you wait, Buster. No, they're saying things I can't repeat into this microphone. They're cussing. I've seen vulgar, like, edited and animated photos posted. They are saying, like, mean things to this guy. They're still doing it. They did it for months after the whole playoff situation, which Kirk Herbstreit, whether you think it's a fair shot or not, has been associated with. And I shouldn't have to go any further beyond that, but I will. Florida State was robbed, objectively, from the playoff last season. And Alabama got in. Kirk Herbstreit was seen as like a face of that. Because I think he gave his two cents on it when he really just shouldn't have. He gave his thoughts on it. I guess he didn't want Florida State in the playoff for the same excuses that people on social media were giving. And for the same reasons that ultimately were used to justify FSU not making it. And with him being the agreeable face, the, for the most part, non-controversial face of ESPN, and with ESPN having ties to the SEC, and with there being claims, especially coming out of Tallahassee, regarding SEC bias, Kirk is seen as the face of this anti-Florida State, pro-SEC, pro-corrupt playoff committee movement. He is seen as the face of all that. And it's caused him to have a couple of meltdowns on X. I'm not even kidding. I've seen it. He goes on these like rambles. It's happened a couple times. Yeah, just because these fans are cracking away at him. And I think it's funny at first. Like, it's funny to think, oh, so if they go to Dublin this weekend, are there going to be like some mean signs? And are people going to like boo? You know, it's funny to think that that's, you know, that could happen. Oh, just these passionate fans telling Kirk, ah, you rascal. But it's actually not funny the more you think about it. It's really not. Because when I think about this, I think about how Florida State is projected to have a good season. Florida State's schedule is very manageable. Anything worse than 10-2 by the end of the regular season would be an absolute travesty. They're currently ranked top 10 in the preseason poll. This is a team that has a lot riding on it. And what does that mean? That means that game day could find themselves staring at game of the week, and uh-oh, it's Florida State at Miami. Or even worse, it's Clemson at Florida State. Especially if college game day doesn't want to overlap with big noon kickoff, they may be staring at a situation where the biggest game for them to go to is either involving Florida State or is being hosted by Florida State. And if you think that would not cause an issue, you are naive. I'm going to paint the scene for you. Are you ready? Let's take it back to December of 2023. Florida State had just gone 13-0. They had done something that up until that point had been a sure shot for the playoff. 13-0 as a Power 5 champ. They were already ranked in the top four. What did they do? In spite of not having their starting QB, what did they do? They beat a top 15 ranked Louisville by double digits on a neutral site. Top 15 and beat them by double digits. Beat them 16-6. Shut Louisville's statistically elite offense down. And they were already in the top four. I mean, are we not getting that? They were already in the top four. And then they did that against Louisville. And they got kicked out? They got kicked out of the top four? They dropped out of the playoff? They did nothing wrong. They had a perfect season. You dropped them out. An unprecedented move by the playoff committee. And in favor of who? Alabama? The darling of the SEC? The face of SEC bias, of Bama bias. Bama bias is a concept you'll hear thrown around every now and again in the community. And Bama had a double-digit home loss to Texas. Are you kidding me? Double-digit home loss. I think they lost by 10 as well. Did they not? And Texas was in the playoff. So this was ridiculous. And every excuse that people tried to give for why Florida State didn't make it was so nonsensical. Oh, well, your strength of schedule has to matter. Then why did Cincinnati make the playoff in 2021? Cincinnati played two Power 5 level programs, if memory serves me correctly. One of them was Indiana, the Big Ten's Vanderbilt. And they made the bracket. Oh, but an SEC team was already locked in at that point. I don't know if you remember that. Two SEC teams, Bama and Georgia, were already locked for the playoff at the time of Cincinnati making it. What about those Notre Dame teams? Did they always play the toughest of the tough? They play pretty tough schedules, but did they always play the toughest of the tough? Notre Dame actually brings me to another point. People say, oh, well, come on. The bracket has always been the four toughest teams, as it should be, really. 2022 TCU looked like one of the four toughest teams when they made it. 2021, Cincinnati looked like one of the top four teams in toughness when they made it. Those Notre Dame teams looked like the top four toughest when they made it. How about 2017 Clemson, led by quarterback Kelly Bryant? They had lost to four-win Syracuse. They lost to a four-win Syracuse team in 2017. Look it up. They made the bracket. So it's not about toughness either. But if it's not about strength of schedule, and it's not about how tough you look, then how do you get into the bracket? Well, that's easy. An SEC team has to already be in there. That's not my take. That's not an opinion. That's not a conspiracy. Every year, up until 2023, the playoff committee had at least one SEC team, one easy pick from the Southeastern Conference that could be put in with little to no pushback, whether it be Alabama, Georgia, or in 2019, LSU. Like, they always had a lock until 2023. At that point, in 2023, if you did the bracket right, you were going to have Michigan, Washington, Florida State, Texas. That was going to be your top four. Alabama was going to be five. Georgia was going to be six. That was going to be your top four if you did it right, if you did it how you did it any other year. But no, that puts the SEC in the red. So what you do is you flip every single criteria you have on its head. You completely reverse the narrative and kick Florida State out and put Bama in. That is not an opinion. That is not just my two cents. That is the way it happened. And you don't want to take my word for it, fine. Look at the precedent that the college football playoff spent a decade setting in stone. And look at how they blatantly defied it, blatantly contradicted it with the Florida State-Bama situation. Now, the reason why I take you through all of that is because I want you to imagine a college kid who goes to Florida State, who was there for the games, who watched it happen firsthand. Put yourself in his emotional state. Next thing you know, Kirk Herbstreit's coming to town. Kirk Herbstreit's coming to Tally. He's going right into enemy territory. Combine that, the feelings that come with that, with some day drinking before kickoff, and you got a drunken fool. And it ain't just going to be one. It's going to be several. It's going to be a good deal. This is going to graduate beyond oh, booing Kirk when he speaks. No, like I'm thinking audio crews for game day may have to drown it out. Like they may have to do something to muffle the booing. Because if not, you're going to hear not just boos, you're going to hear harassment. You're going to hear jeering. You're going to hear cussing. You're going to hear vulgar insults. Speaking of vulgarity, you're not going to be able to show a sign. Somebody even mentioned this on Kirk's comment section. They're not going to be able to show signs in the crowd. Game day always prides itself with the game day signs. And they're funny and they're clever. They are going to be ungodly. And they're going to be directed towards Kirk. It's gonna be rough. If you go to Tallahassee at any point this season, which is so likely with how competitive Florida State can be, you are going to be pelted with boos, with harassment, with threats, with signs that you can't show on television. And honestly, the game day panel's right there with the fans. I could see Florida State making for a hostile enough environment with some of these rowdy kids that they begin to throw things onto the podium, towards the panel, towards Kirk in particular. I can see that happen. And if it does, I think we could be staring at a situation where ESPN as a company has to intervene and they have to say, you know what? We're not doing this. We are not going to put our crew at risk because one veteran member of it decided to share his opinion and you didn't like it. We're not going to do that. You don't think that could happen? You don't think that we could see them go to Tallahassee? I mean, we're probably going to hear boos and see angry FSU fans in Dublin this weekend. You think it's not going to happen in Tallahassee if they go there? You think it won't happen? Of course it will. Ah, certainly Florida State fans have gotten over it by now. Oh, really? Coming from the Alabama fan, that's adorable. It's adorable to hear that from the Alabama fan who got a playoff berth handed to them that they didn't even earn. It's easy for you to say that. You've never been jobbed like this. Oh, yeah. Anyone who doesn't have a dog in the fight can talk about it. Yeah, I'm sure an Illinois fan can run their mouth or an Oregon State fan. Oh, Florida State, such a bunch of pansies. Yeah, that the only reason you're saying that is because you've never sniffed a playoff bracket and you never will. You could stretch this thing to 36 teams, and most likely you're never going to see it. That's why you're talking. You can't relate. Alabama can't relate to being overlooked like that, to being neglected like that, to being wronged like that. Alabama can't relate. Any other schmuck team, they can't relate either. This is something that you can't relate to. Of course Florida State's going to be upset, and of course you're not going to understand it, and you're just going to just get with the program, keep it pushing. Of course you're going to do that. You're not in it. You're not in the trenches with this team. You're not hanging on to the edge of your couch every day, every Saturday, watching this team perform and hoping they do well and hoping they are good enough to get a chance. And then it's taken away from you over nothing, over bias, over favoritism, over money, over greed. Of course you're not going to relate to that when nobody cares about Purdue going 4-8. Yeah, nobody cares what a Boilermaker fan has to say. Nobody cares what a fan of the Cal Golden Bears has to say when y'all are lucky to go bowling. Nobody cares. Oh, Rutgers opened their mouth about it? Who gives a hoot? A lot of people can't even point out New Jersey on a map. You think they give a hoot about how Rutgers is performing? No one cares. You don't tip the scale. You don't turn the heads. You're not good enough to. Florida State was wronged. They were in a position. They were good enough to be in a position to actually fight for a national title. They earned that opportunity in spite of Jordan Travis's injury, in spite of the complaints about their strength of schedule, even though they beat two SEC teams over the course of the regular season, and they beat them each by two possessions or more. It's just insane. It's insane that people don't understand why Florida State was so upset. And yes, I get this fired up about it, even months later, because it's wrong. It's objectively wrong. I am in a journalistic position here when I speak on these things. I'm all about journalistic integrity. I'm all about objectivity. I'm all about honesty. And honestly, Florida State was wronged. So yeah, we're not just going to let it go. And this is coming from a guy who's not even an official Florida State fan. I come from a family of Florida State fans, and I wish them well. But I don't root for Florida State. I'm not wearing the garnet and gold face paint every Saturday. And even if I was, I could put aside my biases. Unlike the committee, I can put my biases aside. And I can speak on this fairly. If Alabama was treated this way, I'd be getting just as fired up about them. But they would never be treated this way, and that's the problem. When you combine the emotion that I just did, that I just exhibited, and multiply it tenfold, hundredfold, and include alcohol, and Kirk sitting right in front of you, you can't imagine some dumb college kids doing something? I know Kirk is crossing his fingers, squinting his eyes shut, praying to God that he does not have to go to Tallahassee this year. And I know it's in the back of his mind right now. I know he's sitting there thinking, okay, well, how am I going to be greeted in Dublin? I hope no one gets hurt. I hope it's nothing dramatic. And as I said, this is not just about this weekend. I'm sure Dublin's going to be manageable. But throughout the season, if they go to FSU, if they go to FSU at Miami, that's going to be that's going to even be in enemy territory for FSU. But you know Florida State fans are going to show up. And you know they're going to make themselves heard. Of course they are. It's a big rivalry game anyway. At games like that, tensions are going to be riding even higher because of the implications of the game itself. It's just a very unfortunate situation. And I just have that just sitting behind my ear. I'm just barely thinking about it as we approach Dublin. And I see it being a thing that's going to be an increasing concern if Florida State starts 4-0, 5-0. They start creeping up higher in the rankings. They start getting national title looks, playoff looks. And there's a prominent Big Ten game or something. Oh, but Big Noon Kickoff took that. Or Big 12 game. Oh, Big Noon Kickoff took that. I mean, game day is all the more likely to go to ACC and SEC games when they're worried about that. Oh, but if it's a week where Alabama's playing winless Vandy, Georgia's playing, I don't know, South Carolina, they're not going to go to those games. But if Florida State's playing Clemson, they're going to go to that. If Florida State's playing Miami and both teams have good records, they're going to go to that. It sucks that all of this started just from Kirk giving his opinion, because I think for the most part, he was a pretty agreeable guy. But this is definitely something to worry about. Again, I'll say it one more time. Not in Dublin. Florida State fans are going to be there. They're going to boo. If we have anything severe in Dublin, I think game day is just going to go ahead and in their production room, they're just going to scribble Florida State off the board. They're going to scribble Doak Campbell Stadium out of there, Tallahassee out of there. And I think these could be also concerns for Kirk, just in particular, when it comes to like calling games, if he calls a Florida State game. I understand he just gave his opinion, but I don't know. It's nonetheless a bad look, and I still feel for Florida State fans, and they're still bitter. The writing's on the wall on social media. I would just look out for that. We're going to talk about that. If Florida State hosts game day, you best believe for that week of the college try, we are going to be touching on that. That's going to be headlining story, and I'm sure we're going to, you know, run through all of these emotions again. But I guess all I'm trying to say is best of luck, Kirk. I wish you the best in Dublin. Hopefully it shouldn't be anything too severe. But yeah, that'll be the top game, not just for competitiveness, but for drama. Absolutely. You've been listening to the College Try podcast. We're going to be back right again next week. We're going to have a lot to talk about. We're going to be talking about this Florida State Georgia Tech game, I'm sure. We're also going to be talking about the loaded slate again. I said that at the beginning. The loaded slate coming up on August 31st. That's going to be episode 3, once again, of the College Try podcast. Thanks for listening. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.